The year that made me.
The year that made me.
The year that made me.
Who will it be? It's a year. We're going to talk about that. That much is certain. And my guest. She's a prominent feminist. She's a Walkley Award-winning journalist. She's an author. She's someone who speaks her mind, has done, well, for quite a while. It's 40 years now since her most famous book was published. Last year, the University of Technology in Sydney had a three-day summit to talk about that book's legacy. It's out and about again. It's never been absent since 1975. Here's teacher and women's rights activist Wendy McCarthy. An introduction that might just give you a clue as to who we're about to talk to.
The impact, the legacy, and the future. It's always a very good way to think about something as important as this book has been in redefining and reframing a lot of the thinking about where women fit into Australian society. And the fact that it's lasted so long. You know, my daughter's read it and my step-granddaughter was reading it for HSC. That's three generations in our family. Isn't that remarkable that a book can be as sustainable as that?
And that book is Damned Whores and God's Police. And, yes, we're going to talk to its author, Anne Summers. Anne, welcome.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's wonderful to be here.
1975.
What a year.
We're going to go back to that year because that, of course, was the year in which the book was published. Can I take you back a bit further first, just to walk up to that? You grew up in Adelaide. Tell me about your dad.
My father was a small businessman. He was what was known as a manufacturer's agent, which meant that he used to sell stuff to department stores. He had a big drinking problem. I got on very badly with him, particularly when I was a teenager, and we really clashed. But it was a very, very difficult relationship. And one that I was, I think made me very defiant, but it also made me able to withstand hostility and criticism, and therefore I think made me a stronger person and has meant that kind of in some ways equipped me for the political fray.
1965, an encounter with abortion politics.
Well, not so much politics.
Well, sorry. Grotesque practical realities.
Exactly. I found myself pregnant in early 1965. I was 19 and I lived in Adelaide and there was absolutely no chance that I could have this child and I had to get an abortion, but I didn't know how to do that. And in Adelaide, as far as I knew, there was nowhere to do that. And everybody talked about the need to go to Melbourne. And I was told that if I went into the Barsmith Library at the University of Adelaide and went to the part of the library where they have the interstate phone books, and I got what were then the pink pages, which today are the yellow pages, we don't even have them anymore, but the pink pages of the Melbourne telephone book, and if I looked under medical practitioners, I would see certain names had asterisks beside them, and they would be the doctors to call. And they said it would be £120. I had to find someone cheaper, and I did, and it was botched, and I was very lucky not to die.
And I wonder if that was a pretty formative political moment. I
mean, absolutely. Absolutely. I have been adamant ever since that abortion has to be legal and safe and affordable, and that no woman of any age, but particularly young girls, teenagers, to be in the position where, I mean, I did this alone. I mean, I couldn't let my parents know. It was not only a frightening experience, but it really was one of those moments where you think, no, this cannot happen. And I was really pleased a few years later where one of the doctors who supposedly was helping me after it had gone wrong, but in fact grabbed me and tried to kiss me. I was very glad when he was arrested some years later when the Victorian police shut down the abortion rackets.
So 1970, you go on to form Women's Liberation Movement in Australia?
69. 69. Okay. In Adelaide, yes.
1975, there's this sequence here of then you publish Damned Whores and God's Police.
Yes.
So in that, and this is a moment, of course, that we know broadly is a moment of great change and optimism, I think, in Australian culture. Does that filter down to the feminist conversation as well?
Well, I don't think it was a time of optimism, to be honest with you, Jonathan. I mean, just looking back over that year, I mean, globally, it was a year of tumultuous events. It was the year the Vietnam War ended, for example. But it was also a year in which, there was bombing, IRA bombing in central London all the time. There was a huge amount of terrorism in those days. And I think we forget that because, terrorism today is, of course, a huge problem. It was a year in which Franco, the dictator in Spain, died. It was the year that New York City went bankrupt, or would have if the federal government hadn't intervened. So it was a year of a lot of major traumatic events, and that was part of our context. It was the year when Anita Nielsen, who lived in Victoria Street, which is where I live in Sydney, disappeared, and we know was murdered because of her opposition to development of that street.
I think I'm convinced. 1975 was not a good time.
Yeah, okay, I'll shut up now.
Dr. Anne Summers is my guest. She's author, of course, of Damned Whores and God's Police and 1975. When you put the pen down on the last full stop in the book, what did you think you'd done?
I guess when I had a lot of trouble finishing the book, I think it was partly fear of what I was doing and whether or not I had the courage to attack the people that I was going to be attacking. I mean, I was, after all, attacking all of the leading historians and leading authors and most of the leading men in the country. I gave them all a big serve, and I was only, a 29-year-old girl. I wondered whether or not anyone would read the book.
Seemed to have pulled it off.
Yeah, but you never know. And I guess what the other thing that was very significant about 1975, Jonathan, is that it was International Women's Year, so called by the United Nations. And in fact, I think if I had delivered my book when it was meant to be delivered 2 years earlier, I think it would have sunk without trace. But 1975, provided a context. It really did radicalise a lot of women, but it also, it just made society confront women's issues, discrimination issues, the way in which women, didn't have fair opportunities in ways that we'd never done before. And my book, Landing, at the end of that year, it was published in November 75, it just came at the right time and people were ready for it. And so it got a reception that I don't think it would have got if it had been published earlier.
So 40 years down the track, when a successful woman, the foreign minister, for example, renounces feminism, what does that make you feel?
I don't care. I mean, I really think we spend so much time talking about feminism instead of talking about the real issues, which are, equal pay, right to abortion, right to employment, childcare, paid parental leave, all of the issues that what we used to call women's liberation.
Which was true today as they were then.
Initially laid out, yes.
Which is worrying, I would imagine.
Well, a lot has changed. The way I put it in the new introduction to the book is that a lot has changed, but not enough. We still have a lot of unfinished business. But, I mean, there have been undoubted changes. The fact that we have a female foreign minister is one example, and that we have finally have had our first female prime minister, and something the Americans haven't yet managed to do with a head of government. So a lot has changed. A lot of things are great. The most important changes, I think, are the legal ones. The fact that discrimination is formally outlawed. The fact that we have legal redress if discrimination occurs, and of course it still does. But I think rather than continuing to talk about the ideology, we should be talking about the practicalities of what needs to be done and where the unfinished business is.
1975 was your year, and from that year you've chosen, some Joni Mitchell.
Yes.
Tell us why.
Well, when I was writing the book, a lot of the time I worked in a room above a restaurant in Paddington. I didn't really have anywhere to live for a few months, and these friends had the restaurant, and they said, well, look, you can work, upstairs, because I was basically working 18 hours a day, and we'll bring you up food, which was fantastic of them. And I had this little desk, and I had a cassette recorder, And I used to play nothing but Joni Mitchell on this cassette recorder while I was on the last legs of the book. And so I've just always had, you know, a great affection for Joni Mitchell and great admiration for her. But this particular song has a couple of lines in it that really kind of summed up how it felt for a lot of women like me back then, is that we didn't really know, we knew what we wanted, but we didn't know how to get there.
The song is Turn Me On, I'm a Radio. Joni Mitchell, Caught in Spark, of course, is the album. Anne Summers, thank you so much.
It's been very good talking to you, Jonathan. Thank you.
Anne Summers is author of Damned Whores and God's Police, re-released in shops 40 years from its publication in 1975, and you can see more of Anne's work at annesummers.com.au. Here it is, Joni Mitchell, Turn Me On the Radio.
Driving into town with a dark cloud above you, dialing the number who's bound to love you. Oh, honey, you turn me on. I'm a radio, I'm a country station, I'm a little bit corny, I'm a wildflower waiting for you. Broadcasting tower waiting for you. And I'm sending